We're going to stay in the history department for a little longer. This next story is about one of the most notorious slippery liars in the Northwest back in the early 1900s. She managed to bilk thousands of dollars out of railroad companies. Her name? Maud Wagnon. The alias she worked under was Maud Johnson. Maud's story of deception was almost forgotten until one day Logan Camporeale found an old booklet. He's a student at Eastern Washington University, and he was working at the Washington State Archives. This is where he came across a catalog of wanted prisoners. Yes, a catalog from the year 1913.
So I was just sitting at home showing this document to a friend and, you know, assuming these are all men. And he had the wits to ask, well, are there any females in this little catalog here? And we found a name that looked sort of female, Maud Johnson. And sure enough, there she was, the only female in the catalog.
Who was this woman, this outlier? Logan wanted to know, so he started to hunt for more information. Logan's research is paying off. With the help of KNKX staffers reading a few old historical documents, he tells Maud's story.
From the Daily East Oregonian, Friday, September 3rd, 1909. Queen of Fakers will be sentenced here. Maud Bainey convicted in 1905 of obtaining money under false pretenses.
This from the Spokane Daily Chronicle, August 5th, 1909. Is woman a faker? San Francisco authorities arrest an alleged grafter accused of defrauding many railroad companies in New York, Portland, Seattle, Tacoma. A woman giving her name as Mrs. Maud Myrtle Johnson was arrested at the Merritt Hospital in Oakland yesterday and will be held pending action by the Seattle authorities.
So Maud Johnson is the queen of fakers. She's dubbed that by a number of different newspapers. And what she was doing was traveling from city to city, defrauding a infant industry, electric railroads, interurban railroads. And these were basically trolleys that you used to get around town. And Maud would show up in a town, get on one of these railroads. She'd ride it until there was sort of a jolt or a jump when there was a break in the tracks or something. And she would throw herself on the ground and a fake injury. And according to the report, she could dislocate some of her limbs. And then also she would use some sort of a fake blood in order to indicate that she was having internal hemorrhaging, which then she would use to try to secure a claim from a claim agent that worked for the train company. Maud Johnson, as far as I can tell, was born in Eastern Oregon in the late 1800s. I can't really track much of Maud's life up until she starts appearing in newspapers. She gets caught passing bad checks in Pendleton, Oregon. And she's in jail with three other folks, and they actually break out of jail. It just says, like, they saw it out. It's not very clear. You know, it's just newspaper articles. At least in her mugshot that was taken in, I believe, 1910. She has sort of a bobbed haircut, sort of curly around the edges, not very long, just barely past her ears. In an era before good fingerprinting, the only way to identify people was by unique markings that they had or unique features. On one place on Maud's conviction register, it has has large pointy ears. A number of cases, and maybe even in some cases, the motivation for Maud to get this money illegally was to fund some sort of traveling theater that she was directing. It sounds like she sort of directed this and had a troupe of actors that would have gone with her throughout the Pacific Northwest. The Variety article that says that Maud scammed about $200,000 out of railroad companies, it claims that $150,000 of that money was spent to produce these shows, which leads me to believe that they must have been pretty substantial. The railway organizations were quickly paying out a lot of money to Maud. The more established railroad industry already had a really established system to catch fraudulent activity, but the newer railroads, these interurbans, didn't. And one of the claim agents, his name was B.F. Boynton, And he started a organization where he reached out to all of the other claim agents for different interurban railroads, and they started working together to try to catch Maud. So the Pacific Claim Agents Association was founded with the explicit intent of catching Maud Johnson. And then they even, you know, went as far as to release wanted posters.
Any person knowing of the whereabouts of this woman will please notify B.F. Boynton, President, Pacific Claim Agents Index Bureau for the Prevention of Accident Fraud, 520.
I can track down three specific incidences where she ended up in jail for a different crime. Once in 1905 in Pendleton, and then in 1909 she's caught in Oakland. She's convicted of obtaining money on false pretenses, and she's sentenced to a 1 to 5 year sentence. She immediately tries to do a appeal, and while she's on appeal, she sends this amazing letter to the warden of the Walla State Penitentiary while she was in jail awaiting her appeal.
Dear sir, pardon me for taking the liberty to write you, but I wish to know some of the rules of your institution. First, am I allowed to bring my trunk with me? Second, are we allowed our own clothes, or are we furnished uniforms? Third, as I am in ill health, having a fibroid tumor, I rush to know if I may bring the medicine that I am now taking, as I am under the care of Dr. Cass of Vancouver at present. Of course, I know that no opiate would be allowed, and there is none in my treatment.
And that's how Maud starts working this case to get out of prison. It's really about this illness. And her advocates outside of prison use that as the main reason they think she should be freed. She gets letters from all sorts of people.
My dear Governor, I understand that the minimum sentence of Miss Maud Johnson, now in the penitentiary at Walla Walla, will soon expire. I am informed that she is in very poor health and will not likely live long unless she is released from the penitentiary and given an outdoor life and proper treatment. Yours very truly, Oswald West, Governor of Oregon, May 29th, 1911.
My dear Governor, I just returned home and find on my desk your letter of the 29th. I'm sorry to say to you that Mrs. Johnson's record is of such nature, and there has been so many protests filed against her release, that I'm satisfied there is no prospects of her immediate release. With kindest personal regards, Governor Hay, Washington State.
Fortunately for Maud, though, 1912 comes, a new governor comes in, and that's when I think Maud secures her her release. In an era before parole, essentially what she has to do is secure a first friend, which is someone that will allow her to live with them and also will employ her. And just about 2 weeks after she arrives there, there's a letter in the file to the warden of the state penitentiary saying Maud disappeared. So that's how Maud ends up on the run again.
To Henry Drum, superintendent of Walla Walla Penitentiary. We have Maud Johnson, the woman you offered $50 reward for. Come and get her. From Donald McRae, Sheriff, Snohomish County.
I don't know if she was actually doing a fraud or something, but she gets caught there and then goes back, and she ends up serving the rest of her sentence until, I believe, 1915, when she's finally released. I don't know what happens to Maud. It's something that eats me up pretty regularly. I've never been able to track down a death record. It really bothers me. No burial site. There's really not much else I know about Maud after she's released from prison. I mean, this story captivates me for the obvious reasons of it just being, you know, it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll in 1910, you know? She's really, you know, bending the mold of what's allowed and what's possible. You know, she's not scared to scapegoat males, and that's often what she says is the problem. She says, you know, it's the bad male influences in her life that are causing these problems. She's really aware of gender, and her ability to manipulate it is impressive, and it's fun to read about. It shows in part the wild, wild west nature of Washington in 1910. We live in a pretty modern world here, but just 100 years ago, we were living in the wild west. people couldn't even communicate effectively enough to catch criminals, you know? They were sending telegrams to each other. The difference in technology is amazing. And Maude was taking advantage of technology. Obviously, there's the mystery aspect, too. I have a hard time accepting the fact that Maude just, you know, adopted another alias and, you know, lived happily ever after on a farm in Oregon. I'm sure Maude did some other crazies in this life, so I'm inspired to continue looking, and I'm honestly hoping that talking over the radio here, there might be some chance that someone's heard of Maude Wagnon or knows something about the Wagnon family or wants to try to help me dig this up. Oh, man, I would be immensely grateful.
I want to talk, baby, by myself. No one to talk with, happy on the show. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you. Sans on saison. I know for certain, baby, the one I love. I'm through with flirting, just you think of. Ain't misbehaving, saving all my love for you. Da-da-da-da, Jackie Horner, in the corner, don't go nowhere. And I don't care, babe, kisses are worth my waiting for. Believe me, I don't stay out late, don't care to go. Home about 8 mean radio, ain't misbehaving, saving all my love for you. Mm-hmm.